All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'll be your handler for this operation, and I am joined by three of, they did okay last time. One of them died, but they, three of my best friends who are still doing well, they didn't die in real life. Starting, of course, with the man himself, Brad Playing Hank.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello there. And then, of course, by Jean, playing Benedict.
Hello.
And, of course, Dace, playing Benji.
Hi.
Terse. I like that. To the point. Yeah. Brad, I think you had something for us?
Yeah. We had a very intense last episode.
We did.
For everyone. So we should talk. We should start.
Decisions were made.
We can hug it off.
We should start this one with something more light, and I should. I'm gonna ask you guys
where this is going already.
I'm gonna ask you guys. I've been playing CK3, you know.
Okay.
And I've got my own religion, and I can officially dethrone the papacy, the Pope himself.
Oh.
And should I just banish him, behead him, or behead him and eat him? Because my religion is Catholicism, plus we eat people.
Okay, what are the conditions of banishment? That's my question.
It's a whole fucking process to get here to this point. Like,
this is where I'm thinking.
Have you been playing CK3 this entire time we've been playing?
Yes, the entire last episode.
Double dip it. That's his other stream. Talk about it. Also, can you elaborate on CK3 for people who might not know what it is?
It's like a Crusader Kings 3 strategy game, but it's like, I guess more of a role-playing aspect than Civilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's a grand strategy game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But you have to do, you can't just like do shit like, you know, to conquer. There's like laws and stuff to like make, to overtake another country. You have to own some of the de jure counties, you know, a certain percentage of that, and then you can legally control all this stuff. And to dethrone the Pope, you have to have your own religion, something else, but basically you have to control all of Italy, the Italy peninsula. And I was like, what the fuck am I missing? And there's this one little island called Malta below Sicily that I couldn't see that was owned by the Byzantine Empire. And it was like, to take this one island, I'm going to have to go to war with this entire empire.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole thing. But I finally
did it. So the game is in depth, you say.
Yeah.
I finally did it, and now I've de-landed the Pope, and I can destroy them and take over Catholicism with my Catholicism plus eating
plus cannibalism. Religion. Are you... Is that what you're calling it? Just Catholicism plus?
Catholicism plus plus.
I think it's called... the faith of blood and flesh or something like that.
Was that your decision or was that randomly generated?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what I called it. It was something like that, but it's in Italian.
Okay.
Is this baked into the game or is this you modding the shit out of
No,
this?
No. It's like when you create your own religion, you can literally pick where your holy sites are, what are your
eating people's
tenets
fine.
And stuff like that. And it's everything... Yeah. Catholic, but you can eat people.
Plus eating people.
What is that in Italian, John? The faith of blood and death.
Blood and flesh, I think. I gotta look up.
Sangue e la morta, or something. Yeah. Sangue.
Okay, so you need us to tell you whether or not you should behead and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's simple.
Okay, good. What you got?
No, it's just banish him to the refrigerator. You get all three.
Yeah.
I can keep him in my dungeon for the rest of his life, for sure.
That's just smart.
Yeah, can't you keep him in the dungeon and torture him?
Refrigerator.
I'm not, like...
For
a refrigerated dungeon.
If I have someone with more of intrigue stats, then you can do the torture route, but the specific dude, the ruler that's gonna actually dethrone him is more of a steward.
I think, obviously, you have to go for kill and eat. I mean, you went through all the trouble of making your own kill and eat religion.
A lot of people aren't going to like that.
Need to really
it might not be very popular with everyone. but I can't.
You mean
do
the people
that.
Listening to the podcast or the people in your game?
Both.
Your other streaming
your
channel.
Your other streaming channel.
I think you should. You remember that scene in V for Vendetta where Natalie Portman infiltrates the Pope's office as like a little girl?
I feel like we've talked about this before.
A game I've never played before.
What a. Can we not?
I think
talk
you should
this?
Do that, except make the Pope dress up like a.
I will see if I can make him my jester. I'm not entirely sure I can do that.
Okay.
But that would be hilarious if I could make him my jester in court.
I like that, actually. Can we eat parts of him and then make him your jester?
I don't think we can do that once he's dead. I don't think we can do that.
Okay.
Well, speaking of unexpected turns, let's talk about what happened last time.
Joe's like,
stop. I'm dead. Yeah, Joe's like, this has been too heavy a day.
I'm fried. Guys, last time, you guys escaped the Dorchester. You went back to Boston. You ran away from Delta Green. You escaped the city. You've discovered over and over again that the veil between this world and the night world, between this world and maybe even Carcosa, is thinning every moment. You managed to not be killed by fake cops. You managed to not be killed by Axel. You managed to not do all these things, and you finally tracked down this theater where Victor Carell's showing of his own personal King in Yellow was. You did all of that only to find that you were now being very pursued by the very real threat of these gas-masked individuals who you still do not know entirely who they are or what they're doing or why they're trying to kill you. All you know is that they showed up to the showing of Victor Carell's stage play and started murdering people. You guys went on that last episode. That's probably going to be a two-parter, just because it just kind of went on for so long. You guys, I think I'll just lay it out here at the beginning. Hank killed, murked right at the beginning. And
I have questions about that for the sanity check for sure.
Okay, absolutely. We'll definitely talk about the sanity check because there is something about like the way it was written and the way it was done versus a decision I made there that some people might not agree with, but there's a decision I made there that has to do with something in the book. You guys saw Hank be killed. You went out to the van. You tried to get the van. The van's not real. It's just a prop. You guys went down the street. Benji was pulled into this weird other place. You guys are running from these guys. Every time you kill one, two more shows up. It's like chopping off the heads of the Hydra. Hank shows back up, dumped out from a taxi, driven by a mannequin. That taxi's as a prop, too. You guys fought tooth and nail, ending in a gunfight with not the gas mask guys, but with some old-school-style cops who seem to be chasing both you and the gas mask crew. And Hank attempts to stand his ground for the sole purpose of murdering one of these gas mask guys because they've been so inconvenient. Because they have inconvenienced him so, he elected to stay back and shoot one of them. How do we feel about that decision now, Brad?
I probably wasn't smart, but it could... I mean, with all this shit going on, it could very well have been in character. We'll say it was in character.
I mean, we saw
that
Hank's,
is very
like,
much in character,
truly lethal side.
Right.
Like, he was in murder
Absolutely.
Mode. He was just on it.
Yeah. And then Benji pulling out a masterful critical success. Plus a... And keep in mind, then you didn't roll that... When you rolled that strength check to pick Hank up and take him with you...
Yeah, that was a strength. And yeah, I do appreciate that.
It was a critical dex, and the strength was as high as you could have rolled and still succeeded. It was a perfect success.
Yeah, I do appreciate coming back.
Retcon and say he smashed up a pill or something with the butt of his shotgun and snorted it. It's like Popeye.
I thought you were gonna say that instead of carrying Hank, you just like dragged him by his ankles and his head is just bouncing on the stairs as you're like dragging him up, just like dump 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 dump.
For what's that? 2 points of damage.
2 points, you say. But you guys, having seen this hotel and literally the world seemingly falling down around it, leaving only the hotel Broad Albin, that you guys have been running towards, that you guys have been seeking out this entire time. You guys make it into the lobby, close the door, and you hear there in the lobby, you hear the man standing behind the desk. Well, welcome to the Hotel Broad Albany, I guess. What's going on back there? And that is where we pick up. Now, there is some housekeeping that needs to be done right now. You guys ready for some good old-fashioned housekeeping?
What you got?
I would like each of you to roll a 1d20, please. Please tell me what you get.
I'd like to know what it's for before doing this.
I would like you to mind your own damn business.
Fine.
11.
I rolled a 9.
And a 7.
Okay. So... okay, so let's take a look here. What we got? 11 for Hank, 9 for Benedict, 7 for Benji. I would like you all to take that number back for sanity.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that actually puts Hank back to where he was previously.
Plus 1.
Plus 1, yeah. After...
Does that revert some of the damage?
It does. Your paranoia is repressed again, basically.
Okay. Wow.
So that's the first part of the housekeeping. But there is more. Let's talk about, you know, this is one of the things that we haven't had a lot thus far that we're now kind of dealing with the first time is really, you know, we're talking about damage and things like that. Some of the basic stuff, because we really haven't done a lot of combat. But let's talk about permanent injury, shall we? Would you guys like to talk about permanent injury? This is something we've dealt with.
You can skip it if you're all
right. We've dealt with this once before. I think we should talk about it. on page 55, at any time your agent is reduced to 2 or fewer hit points, make a con 5 test. Failure indicates a permanent injury. The handler selects a stat to be permanently reduced by the number on the lowest 10-sided die of the fail constitution check to a minimum score of 3. So, Hank Ellis has been reduced. I am not going to charge you the permanent injury of you being killed earlier. That was a supernatural event. I am going to charge you the permanent injury for this, though. So, but that being said, we don't even know if Hank's going to live. Hank needs to be patched up. Right meow. Right the fuck meow.
If I... what is he bleeding out? Do we need to stabilize him?
He needs to be stabilized. We need someone to roll some first aid on him. It's what we really need.
If Hank dies after all this shit...
God, that'll be... so
I will great. Say that if as you we'll both- as you guys pile in and you see this figure behind the counter, he, with this kind of smile, he seems to not be terribly perturbed by the fact that you guys are covered in bullet wounds and bleeding all over the place. He comes out from behind the counter with a big kind of briefcase-sized package that's white with a big red cross on it. And,
First aid, yes. You, do you know a doctor? Are you the doctor?
He points and says, oh, no, sorry, I have to take this to the back, and he leaves.
what?
No, that's not what happens. He will say, looks like you might be needing this. And he will come around the corner and the counter and hand it to whoever will take it.
Benji has a 10 in first aid, so...
Same.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I was asking for a doctor.
None of us.
Bellhop.
None of
Where's
us...
the bellhop? He looked responsible. He looked like a doctor.
You mean the one you pushed down the stairs?
Okay, so you're going to say this to this guy? You're going to ask for a doctor?
Yes.
Okay. All right. He'll say, I guess I could go and try to find one for you.
Yes, this man's bleeding.
Yeah, he is. Okay, I'll go see what I can find. Who knows who will be here? And he leaves you with the kit, and he kind of walks back. Yeah, he is. So, yeah.
That man is far too casual for the tension of this scene. I don't know.
Exactly.
You...
All right, so can we both try first aid to stabilize him in the meantime?
Pain. Me something.
Yeah, you goddamn idiot. He's gonna smack him in the head. Be like, it's a fucking. You just staying back to shoot somebody, you idiot.
Yeah. So go ahead.
That's another 1 point of damage.
Yeah, so go ahead and roll. You can roll your first aid check. You can take a plus 20 because you have been given some equipment. Uh-huh. So let us see.
Can we both take a plus 20?
Sure.
So close.
I'm being kind.
31.
31 over 30. That's a failure. By the way, if you get a critical, you deal damage. Ah, another failure.
Failure.
You guys are trying everything you can to...
What is the stuff? Where are the plasters?
Well, that's the thing. You Band-Aids. Open it up and everything in here is like really old school. Like even like some of the packages on the bandage seems to be literally so old that the packaging, just like the paper around the bandage, just falls apart.
Benji holds up a dusty suppository and he's like, this is the trick.
All right. I am going to turn back in my book a little bit. I'm going to turn back in my book. As this individual comes back around the corner. He comes down the stairs. And you see behind him is a man. The man looks to be...
No.
The man looks to be about age 60.
I know one doctor.
It's a black guy. Pair of glasses on. His tie is kind of loose around. He's wearing like kind of a... kind of a middle of the road kind of business casualty suit, kind of plaid gray suit. You guys recognize immediately Agent Exeter, Dr. Elias Barbas.
Wow.
I knew it.
What tipped you off? How the hell did you know that?
He was a doctor. He's the only doctor we've encountered.
But he was a psychiatrist, wasn't he? He wasn't a medical or a
Don't you worry about
it. Right.
He comes down and he seems very concerned. Very concerned. He's like, oh my god, this man's been shot. And he looks at you guys, it's like he doesn't have an ounce of familiarity with you.
Thank God for that.
It didn't Benji got it.
She's got like
Benji just like holds
look on his face.
Benji just holds his hand up to the side of his face.
Just, you know, just like, whoa.
This is awful.
Yes, you. Can you help him? Can you help him?
I
what's your name?
I can try. It's not important right now. Give me that disgusting old first aid kit. As he's going to try his best as well.
I'm sure he's got high doctoring skills, though.
What was that, Brad, you said about Dr. Elias Barbas? What'd you say about his specialty?
He's like, so how are you feeling?
So, tell me. So, lay him down over here on this couch. I need...
How's your relationship with your mother?
How's your relationship with your mother? Okay, he's going to make his roll, his first aid roll. That is an 86. That is an 86. He fails.
Did y'all know the reason for that? Is it's like, 86, we're going to 86 him. It's like 8 something out and 6 feet under. That's
what?
That's why it means killing somebody.
Oh, like the shape of a grave.
No, well, it's like, fuck, I can't remember. 8 miles out, 6 feet, 8 miles out of town, 6 feet under. Sorry, that was an aside. Oh. I fucked it up. Continue.
So this is a bad omen, you're saying?
Yeah. So this guy
at 86.
This guy's basically he's like I think maybe he's
shot.
I think he's gonna die. He's trying his best. He's trying his best to actually, you know, try to kind of put you together. Yeah, like I'm trying to actually see the rules here on like if you're bleeding out or not, because this is a bit of a hole, it seems like, in the rules here. If your agent is reduced to two or fewer, they fall unconscious. Unconscious is helpless, can be killed with a single attack without having a roll. And then it just says at three or more they gain consciousness, or after an hour passes.
So,
okay. So we just need to keep them safe.
Yeah, it sounds
for an
like
hour.
I'm just unconscious until I can roll a constitution roll to naturally heal myself.
Yeah, like you'd have to naturally recuperate later.
He just needs a nap.
It just needs a
nap. I've had that before.
This guy, he'll. You guys with these, you're able to kind of stop the flow of the blood. You know, and you think that Hank is likely not going to bleed out, but he's still definitely unconscious. As you guys, and he's like, oh, well, I mean, I'm sorry, I've done the best I can. You see, if he could just tell me about a traumatic childhood experience, I feel like I could really get to the bottom of what's really going on here.
What ails him?
That receptionist is not getting a tip.
Wow.
Yeah. So you guys kind of put Hank back together, but yeah, Hank is still unconscious. I'd say at this point in time is really the first time that you guys really have an opportunity to even really look around and take in the space as Dr. Barbas puts this man back together. He's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't help more. I have to go wash my hands. You know, his hands are bloody, you know, now. He like kind of rolled up his sleeves. You know, he picks up his jacket. He's like, you know, Godspeed to you. And he kind of walks back up the stairs, or heads to. What's that?
Before he goes, I want to be like, what year do you think it is?
What a ridiculous question.
Okay.
There's probably, he's like, this man's obviously in shock. And he just walks away.
Well,
not fighting.
This is obviously before, in his timeline, before he gave us, before he was our handler, because you remember we saw him at the other hotel when we found the box of shit that we saw him swimming in the mirror after he was dead. So this is probably like somewhere in the timeline of his corruption starting.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how far along he was in that process of corruption, or if at all. I don't know. But
you're looking.
I don't think he's a real doctor.
That's the trick. You guys are looking around the lobby. The lobby is like two floors high. And it looks like the whole place, very similar to when you guys had first entered the night floors in 1995. Everything seemed to be very well kept, very elegant, you know, like just dripping in elegance. But the longer you were there, it seems that things kind of fell into disrepair. The paint was peeling, the gold gilded trim was all starting to flake. And this space is very much more in keeping with that. The wallpaper is peeling off, the banister that goes up both sides behind the front desk is like pitted and worn from countless hands running over the oak that's there. And then behind the front desk, behind the little rack where all the keys are and like little mailboxes, as the receptionist is still just kind of standing there, maybe doing a piece of paper and occasionally looking up at you, there is, again, something that you saw at the theater. There's this motif of a clown with a dragon on the end of a string, like up behind the counter itself. All around in this lobby, and it very much feels like a lobby, are, you know, these big kind of fluffy couches. They're definitely worn in a great deal. And across from, like, on the other side, or like maybe to the right of the actual staircase, you see a caged in, like a wrought iron caged in elevator, like an old school looking elevator. And it's currently closed, and you don't see the elevator itself. But yeah, what are you guys thinking? You know, the carpet is that same deep burgundy color, again worn from looking like people walking the most common routes throughout this room.
I go talk to the bellhop, to the guy at the counter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. You, thank you for the doctor, air quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He's a... this guy's kind of hard to pin. It's hard to tell if he is a... If he's... He's probably in his 30s or so, but it's hard to tell if he looks older or younger than he actually is. He just kind of seems out of time, and he just has this kind of permanent or like semi-permanent grin plastered across his face.
All right. It's been a long week. Are you a demon?
The grin doesn't really disperse, but he does. He's like, he kind of tilts his head. He's like, I don't think so. No.
Are you okay? All right. Well, do you have a room for us?
Can I get your name?
No. Let me just check if what currency do you use?
Well, the and he kind of slows down his speech. You think he's fucking with you? He's like the American dollar.
Okay. God, you're so patronizing. I don't have time for you. But that's fine. Do you take credit cards or only cash?
Credit cards? He tilts his head to the side.
Got you. Okay. Do I have any cash on me?
Maybe you do. And he says, if you go to hand him any cash or anything, he's like, well, sir, if I just get your name, we often have reservations.
Okay, look up Matador.
And you see he opens, he slams a big ledger down in front of you, boom, and like opens it to the back, and he runs up and you're done. Matador. Oh, I see, Matador / Benedict Farthington, is that right?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I have your reservation. Oh, here. I see this is this reservation was done also at the same time. Special Agent Hank Ellis and Dr. Benjamin Potts. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
No. My name is actually
Fuck, what's the name of the girl that we're looking for and have been?
Abigail Wright.
My name's actually Abigail Wright. If you could find in my room, I'd sure appreciate it.
He laughs. He's like, "Oh, I'm afraid I can't give you information on our other guest. You know, that'd be highly unethical."
I'm Abigail.
Sir Abigail Wright's no longer staying here.
Well, goddamn it.
But yes, I can. I can get those for you.
Okay, and. Just to get a sense of the facilities in this hotel, what do you have?
Well, of course, sir, we have the dining room, and he kind of gestures off to one side. Mm-hmm. There's like a little hallway, a little sign says dining room. He says, and of course, the rooms are upstairs. There's our state of the art elevator.
Mm.
How about the breakfast? Is it continental?
Well, with your stay, we actually have several... I can offer you several tokens, two meals a day via the automat.
The automat?
Yes, the automat. You'll see when you get in there. You use the tokens. You put them in the machine.
Oh, okay. We're going to be fighting a machine. All right. Is the...
Why would you fight for your meals?
I don't have a good track record with machines. It's a credit card thing.
Oh, credit cards.
Does the elevator go to the basement?
His temperament changes quite suddenly the second you mention a basement. He's like, the basement is for staff, you see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not from here. In our play... In England,
were you about to say in our playthrough?
In England, the basement is where the gym equipment is. Sorry, no, just misunderstanding.
Oh, no, I'm afraid the, the
staff, good. You say? That's funny you should mention it, because I'm actually looking for a job.
Well, I suppose I could talk to the manager and see if there's anything available.
Got an application?
No.
Hank, what are you so quiet for? Oh, yeah.
But you know, if you would like, I could probably get one of the bellhops to help you take your unconscious friend.
Give us 1 second. Thank you. You've been very helpful. He's going to go and talk to Benji, mm-hmm. and just have a bit of a power on Benji. I am so tired. What are we doing? Where are we going?
I'm going to go ahead and say at this point that Hank comes too. How about that?
Oh, thank God. He like slaps him in the face. You goddamn son of a bitch. I'm glad you're awake for this. What are we doing, you idiot?
Hank, you feel like hell. You look and you have some dirty bandages shoved into the bullet holes in your neck.
So did he get an HP
no.
pack?
Hank looks around.
What? But he's awake.
Is this real?
Oh, dude, that's
a complicated question.
As real as it gets, sir. from the desk.
Hank, like, he points the M4 at the dude, like.
No, he's just,
get me to a room.
Benito gently takes it away from him.
He's like, get me to a room.
slowly holds up the
says, no problem, sir. He like he claps his hands twice, and behind the desk there's a door and two bellhops come out. They're kind of like a young man and a young woman. They come out and they, you know, those luggage roller things that you put a suitcase on like in a hotel, mm-hmm. they don't have like a stretcher, so they just throw you on one of those. Nice. And just kind of roll you, or no, even better, they bring out one of those antiquated wooden wheelchairs, and kind of stick Hank on it, and they roll you to the door, and they roll you over to the elevator. And when they get to the elevator, they there is a button that they ring, and you hear from seemingly down the shaft, and it's just like, you know, again, it's like iron bars just kind of encapsulating this elevator shaft. It's otherwise kind of freestanding, and you hear down, like way down, you hear a ring ring as they push this little button, and then you hear the elevator shaft kind of grind to life. And when I say grind, like, you can see the metal cables of this thing. They are frayed. They do not look well. As the elevator car itself actually jerks and it seems like trying to shake itself apart as it comes up, and you see that inside is an ancient looking man. He's probably only like 5 foot tall, and his bellhop uniform is like, his sleeves are too long, his like the coat goes down almost to his knees, and his pants are like all kind of like stacked up on the bottom of his shoes. And he just has one hand on this handle and just gung, and then reaches forward and pulls the cage back and slides the metal grill to the side so that you can come in.
Before we go, just receptionist, very helpful. Firstly, thank you.
As we're on the way there, is like Hank's like trying to get caught up on the situation, like, how long have I been out? Last thing I remember was being shot at, blah, blah, blah.
It's been about 5 minutes. Nothing, you haven't missed anything, you're fine. are there any events happening at the hotel before we head upstairs to God knows what? Any parties?
Parties?
Events? Dances?
Not that I'm aware of.
Singers?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. I'll let you know if anything comes up.
J.C. Lins?
Mr. Linz.
Yes.
Are you friends of Mr. Linz?
Yes.
I believe he still has a room here. He's out at the moment.
Could you give us his room number or let us know how we can get in touch with him?
Oh, you're going to need to roll some rolls for that.
How about I persuade him? You've been so helpful, and if I wasn't so tired, I would reach into my pocket and give you some money.
Who are you asking about?
About J.C. J.C. Linz?
Who is that?
So we found his jacket in the old wet hotel room, the one where the box dropped from the ceiling, and on the Broadalbin invite, it says, find J.C. Linz of Hotel Broadalbin, go now, find the hotel, the labyrinth, the author, the bottle, the city, the lake, the shadow, the bottle, then the party, the dance, the girl in blue, the one singing nothing is true except out is through. From Abby.
The boy's wicked smart.
Was looking at that, but I failed to read the top line.
it's weird typography. So that was a successful persuade after I told him I was not going to tip him.
Naturally.
I'm simply too tired to reach into my pocket. Money.
Yeah, so he will tell you, if you're able to, you know, you're able to convince him through one means or the other for him to tell you about J.C. Linz. He's like, well, Mr. Linz was staying with us for a while. I can give you his room number, if you'd like.
Wait. Actually, I think I know it. It's 616, isn't it?
That's a neat trick. That's a neat trick. It is 616.
All right. Do I get any juice for that neat trick?
Nah, it wasn't that neat.
Damn. It wasn't that neat.
It wasn't that neat.
Okay.
All right. You, he'll tell you, he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, what's the guy's name? Hold on. Charlie can take you, up to room six. And he yells kind of loud, Charlie, these people need to go to sixth floor.
Later. Can we rest first, maybe?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Charlie, never mind! Sport. These people want to go to their rooms! You know, and Charlie just kind of nods.
Okay. What does Charlie look like?
Like I said, he's a very, very old guy. It looks like he... Like, it's hard to tell. Like, he might be... I don't know. He might be, you know, Hispanic or Italian or, you know, or something like that. Like a little bit more dark-complected kind of guy. It's hard to tell exactly.
Okay. So Charlie will guide us later.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. We'll go upstairs. Hold that elevator.
Yeah.
And he begrudgingly gets into the elevator.
Yeah. As you guys step in and as you roll Hank's wheelchair into this thing... it groans and creaks. It does not sound safe. That did not appreciate the addition of your weight into whatever it weighs itself. And you see now that if you look around the elevator, it looks like the whole thing has been held together with a mixture of spot welds and tape. Like even there are some parts of it that are literally just held together by a piece of rope tied around two pieces of steel that should be connected. It's janky, to say the least.
Why are you trying to get us to use the stairwell?
And Charlie closes the grate in front of you and just looks at you expectantly. And like he's just waiting.
He kind of pats himself down.
I will say that you were given room keys.
Okay, we're not even... Did you get our bags?
You don't have
Charles.
Bags.
Very observant. I like you. Very observant, Charles.
I like you too.
Where for to? God's sakes, Benedict, give him some coin so I can lay in a fucking bed.
He's gonna look at his room key.
Is it to find a number?
Yeah, there's like a tag on it with a room number.
Okay, do I know where I'm going? Which floor?
Yeah, I'll say that.
Get me here.
Okay, yeah, he looks at it. And the thing is, the script on the room, Benji would be able to tell you the script on the room appears to be in Carcosian. The room number. But yes.
Hablos dos es Carcosias. Hablos Carcosias?
Don't you cuss at me, young man. He will. Are you going to try to talk to this guy anymore, or are you trying to get your room?
No.
Okay.
It's too tired.
He pushes up on the lever, and even as he does, he seems to have to do this complicated maneuver to get the lever in just the right spot. As, again, the elevator feels like for just a second, like it drops. It drops like just a few inches, and then begins to climb slowly up. You guys begin to.
Hank muddles. He's like, so they got magic death machines, but can't afford an elevator. A proper working elevator.
Can't even afford a damn elevator. Yeah, you guys begin to kind of clunk up. And you pass several floors. Hank is kind of out of it. Hank might be kind of in and out of consciousness even. Every time Hank closes his eyes, he might kind of nod off for a second. You know, it's just his body is just reeling. And the other two of you are kind of watching as you're going up. And you see that as you're going up, everything looks... You get these flashbacks of 1995. Of the night floors. Of the ever-expanding, seemingly nonsensical layouts of the hotel floor. You know, there was a question that came up a few episodes ago. Someone says, like, you know, oh, I think that the night floors were the Broad Albin. And this removes any doubt from your mind. Maybe even you see someone, you know, like walking around a corner, like a man and a woman arm in arm. She looks like she's dressed kind of like a flapper. And he's wearing, you know, like a stylish suit. And they like make the corner, like going away from the elevator. You know, maybe you hear the sound of music and laughing and singing, dancing. And then maybe another time you hear the sound of someone screaming hideously, like they're being cut in half. As you guys continue to clunk up before Charlie brings the lever back down. It literally has an up and a down setting, and he again brings it down precisely, which stops the elevator. He reaches forward, pulls the grate back, says, "Your floor."
Appreciate it. We will see.
I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you. We will see you later.
Okay, I'll be here.
Charlie, does this hotel allow dogs?
Well, it's not supposed to. There's at least one running around.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Could do with some ham.
All right. Shall we?
Let's get you all bored.
Before you get the chance to even ask Charlie, hey, which way do we go to our damn rooms? The elevator drops precipitously fast down the shaft as it like kind of dips out of sight. And you guys are left in this hallway. To your relief, the nearest rooms appear to be rooms that are... There appears to be three separate rooms here. Two on one side of the hallway, one on the other. And you guys gonna go into Hank's room and try to get him comfy?
Oh, we each have our own room.
Yeah,
you do. Is that a problem?
Okay. Can we just stay in one room? Can we all just agree to stay in one room? I don't have the energy to be by myself after that.
Yeah, but we should probably check out all three. See if there's some weird shit in there.
Alright.
Okay.
So let's try Hank's room first.
You open up Hank's room, and you guys are... Who all... You guys remember room 616 in the boxer?
Yep. Kinda.
Did everybody look through the dream window?
No, it was like... Hank did.
One of us was sleeping. this guy.
Okay, I would think Hank and Benji did. I think Hank and Benji saw it, because Benji went in it.
Yeah.
Hank and Benji, you see an almost perfect representation of that room that you saw through the window. It doesn't have the... because when you guys had gone through that window in room 616, you had seen that there were some belongings. There was a typewriter and, you know, some belongings, some luggage and stuff like that that seemed to belong to Jay Lynn's.
And there was someone sitting... There was, like, agents sitting at a typewriter on a phone, right? Or am I making that up?
You had seen a phone in there. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
You see that this is exactly like that room. Now, it's like it looks like a hotel room, but this is the exact same layout as the room you observed through the window in 616. You open the door to Hank's room, and it seems to be fine. I'm going to tell you right now, if you go through it, you don't find anything out of the ordinary. It is an antiquated room. There is a small radio, or maybe not small one, maybe a large one. And, you know, the phone doesn't even have like a, you know, it's not like a, what do you call it? It's not even like a rotary phone. It's just a phone you pick up, you know, and call. It probably goes straight to the front desk kind of thing.
Did we smash all the electronics and check for bugs now or later?
No, we can do that later. I was thinking the same thing, but right now we just need to sleep and get this guy patched up.
Yeah, that would what Hank will suggest. Like, let's at least let me sleep for a second before we start.
So we pick up the wheelchair and just dump Hank in the bed.
Just dump him in the bed.
Sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Benedict will check the bathroom. Are there mirrors in the goddamn bathroom?
There is a mirror.
Okay, Benji, is there a lock on the door?
Yeah, you have to use a key to open it, so yes. There's a lock.
Okay.
I think you have to use a key to open it, so yes.
Alright, Benji, this is weird, but I need you to lock that door before we rest. Just lock the door, keep the key.
Benji does so.
Okay.
Let me get some rest then.
Okay, so the idea here is that you guys are going to try to rest, try to get some sleep, maybe get Hank a single hit point back.
Yes.
At least one.
At least a single hit point. Okay.
Where do you think Benji was shot? When Hank was on his back, he took two
points. You got peppered. I mean, it's probably in your back, right? You know? Probably got like winged, like maybe like on your flank or something like that. You just got shot in the ass, man. It's like Forrest Gump, like you just got shot in the ass. Okay. You guys lock the doors and go to sleep, or you try to rest a little bit. You gonna do anything about that mirror, or you just gonna leave it there?
The door's locked. Gonna leave it.
Okay. All right. You rest. I'd like everyone to hit their reset buttons for their skills.
Oh, skills. First aid. I forgot to fail. Check that failure. Because we could use some first aid.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go way back.
I think it was just first aid for you. And firearm.
It's been a time. I think we can all agree. It's been a time.
Yeah.
One thing I do need to check, though. I do need to check the first aid skill. It's just the initial treatment.
I wish there was a check box for sanity.
Yeah, for real.
You guys would be in a really great place.
Oh, we'd be so good at it right now.
Yeah. We never actually did deal with that permanent injury situation for Hank.
No, we didn't.
Brain damage.
No, that's pre-existing condition.
But we'll
shoot a guy who's running into the hotel.
We will do that right now. We will do that right now. We will deal with that. You know, there's the permanent injury rules and there's the optional rules. The permanent injury rules affect your stats. The optional rules affect, like, a body part. What do we like for that? What do you guys think is more interesting?
Say it again.
What do we think is more interesting for the...
So one's a roleplay aspect and one's a stat aspect?
Yes.
Yeah, I reckon the roleplay is obviously more interesting for us. Mm.
He gets a cool scar down his eye.
Hmm. And he...
gets a...
an eye patch?
Yeah, and an eye patch.
I think that though is... I think especially that last... I think that as you guys... Well, let's see if you get the permanent injury first. Make me a constitution check. You want to pass this? If not, we're going to get
success.
Okay, Hank. You avoid having a permanent injury in this situation. You are not doing well, though. You are still incredibly messed up. Okay, so let's talk about recuperation. Anyone who's missing health hit points, go ahead and roll me a constitution check.
Yep. Jeez, I've only got 6. Success.
All success.
And success for Benji.
Is it all successes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets 1 hit point back. Now let's talk about...
Benedict, can you claim my ass wound for me?
You know it good, buddy.
If there's anyone who's going to do it, it's going to be Benedict. Okay, yeah, you guys are going to try to do that. Now, also, we are going to need to regain some willpower. So, those of you who do not have... Well, Benji has had his insomnia repressed at this point, hasn't he?
Yes. Think?
I don't remember now.
Sleep disorder, roll sand check. I don't know if it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is, actually.
What do you think the likelihood that Benji actually still has some drugs on him?
Hi.
That he hasn't consumed them all?
It hasn't been that long. It feels like it has, but it really hasn't. Mm.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Maybe we need to put a number to this.
I think at some point in time, you had rolled a critical success and basically found, like, I'd said, like, oh, like, you've got enough drugs to last you a while.
We can put an official number on it if you want to and start.
How about
tracking
this?
It.
Let's say this time you still have some drugs left over to help you sleep. Next time, you're not.
Okay, I'll write on my sheet, no more drugs.
No more drugs. Okay.
He used his next to last one, saving Hank's ass.
So go ahead and roll a sanity check. Take a plus 20. You want to succeed on this, otherwise you're not going to be able to get any rest.
Plus 20. Oh, fuck, failure.
Benji, you toss and you turn. You're unable to get any rest. You're unable to get any willpower back.
Does that mean I can't get my hit point back?
No, you
either?
Get your hit point because you're physically resting, but you're not able to sleep. If you don't get some sleep soon, you're gonna start having some exhaustion. Okay.
I need willpower as well.
Yep. The rest of you who need willpower, go ahead and roll your, I believe, a d6.
That's a 4.
6.
Okay. So regain those hit points.
Willpower.
Yeah. As you guys rest, as you guys lay Hank back and he's slowly recuperating, you guys either sleep on the bed beside Hank or on the floor or whatever it is where you're sleeping or you're resting or whatever you're doing, you hear the sounds outside the door. Maybe you hear someone laughing and walking by. Maybe you hear the sounds of a far away. Is that jazz music? What is that? And then every now and then you hear something else, something sounds like cables being drawn quickly. Zzzz. That go back and forth down the hallways. And then as...
Elevators.
And as you guys are getting... You're kind of getting ready. You're kind of beginning to stir a little bit. There is a light knock at the door. Not demanding, not intrusive. And a envelope is slid underneath the door.
Benji will pick it up. Read it.
On the... the seal, the wax seal, is of a is a clown's face, and as you open it, you pull it apart and open it out, you see just two words with a question mark after it. The labyrinth? Question mark. And that, my friends, it's probably a good place for us to call this one.
Very chill one.
Bit of R&R.
Bit of R&R.
Exposition.
Holy shit, Hank is still not doing well. He is still not well.
Gotta find a doctor. Some are...
Take that wheel.
You already found a doctor.
Well, someone needs the roll a first aid roll again.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can do anything.
Yeah. All right. Guys.
Can we go out the hotel again? Let's maybe go out
just
the
hotel. Just leave. I'm sure it's that easy.
Just leave.
Just go. Fine. Just go. Guys, thank you so much. It's always
thank
a pleasure.
You, Joe. Yeah,
thank you,
Joe.
Thank you.
Always a blast. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you as well. We really appreciate you coming along for the ride. It's been a wild one. This last few times, it's been a wild one. These guys have a lot in front of them. And they have a lot behind them, too. But listen, if you like what you're listening, you like what you're seeing, give us a shout-out, tell a friend, give us a positive review, give us a thumbs-up, a like, wherever you are, whatever it is. That really helps us. You want to get the episodes a little early, you want to get access to the Sanity Check, where we talk about things behind the scenes, some of our other extra stuff, consider Patreon. It's linked wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. I want to again thank Heather for joining us over at our Patreon as a contributor. Thank you, Heather.
Hello.
Thank you.
But yeah, guys, again, you are the real stars here. I don't care what all the fans say about how much they hate you. I don't care what they say. I think you're doing great.
Thanks. Glad I have access to that email list.
Yeah. Don't worry about the email. You don't need to look in there. It's just a bunch of nasty personal stuff.
You know, you don't have to forward them to us. When
I think it's important.
We don't have to.
How will you know to change? But guys, thank you again. Everyone listening, everyone watching, we will catch you next time. Thank you for joining us. And remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Later.